leading us closer and closer to the Lord. So, well, we're in this new series now. It's called The New You. How many of you need a new you? Okay, a few of you. A lot of you are like, I'm not changing. Look at this. This is great. It's going well for me. Well, you know, in Crescent, I'm realizing something about out here in Crescent. You never know when the power's going to go out. It doesn't even have to be during a lightning storm. And then sometimes you never know when it's going to come back on, right? And so, and then sometimes then you wait and you wait, and then I finally end up saying, you know, I better just leave church because I can't get anything done. All the power's off. And I've ran into that quite a few times. But, you know, when we have a power problem in our houses, there's a lot of appliances that rely on that power source. You know, we've got refrigerators, and we have washers and dryers and dishwashers and lights and our hot water, and most importantly, our coffee makers, right? Right? And so we're relying on this power source to kind of keep all these things running. And you know, really, there's all kinds of power sources or energy sources. You know, a banana, let's for example, is a power source or an energy source for your body. But if I took a refrigerator and I tried to plug it into a banana, it wouldn't be the right kind of power source, right? Well, today we're going to be talking about the ultimate power source, the power source of the Holy Spirit in the life of a new believer, in the life of every believer. And but first, I want to go back. I'm going to talk a little bit about last week and some of the things that we learned from last week. In this new life, here's some questions that we kind of were able to kind of raise from last week, and you'll see this on the screen. Question number one is, who will you follow? See, we looked at Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, and it tells us that blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And it goes on and talks about having the wrong associations, and it really talks about our influences and what we allow to influence our lives. And we talked a little bit about, it's one thing for a believer, for a Christian, to be in the world, right? But we are not just, we are to be a ministry to the world, right? But we're not here to be influenced by the world. And so we talked about that. And our position here on earth is when we're in a particular setting, we are to be a blessing, to serve, to love, to give of ourselves, to be a representation. The Bible says that we're ambassadors. We represent a different kingdom. And as we live on this earth, we're representing his kingdom. We're representing Jesus Christ. And so all that we do, we're in the world. We're operating in the world not to become like them, but to be like Christ and to be a light to the world. Jesus says, let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so so that was a question. Who will you follow? Then the next question that we found in that passage is, what do you take delight in? What do you take delight in? The believer, the one who follows the Lord, his delight is in the Lord, is in the ways of God. And just think about that question. Can you say your delight is in the ways of the Lord? And then we found this question, what do you meditate on? You know what's meditating? Worry is meditating on the wrong things. That's what worrying is, worrying about something, getting all caught up in something and worrying and stressing and the anxiety involved in all that. What worry is meditating and giving attention, devoted attention to the wrong things. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, make your requests known. And the peace of God, right, that transcends all understanding, will guard our heart. See, we meditate on the right things. We delight in the Lord. We meditate on Him. We follow Him. And then this last question, where is your life planted? And that psalm, what's so great about that, Psalm chapter 1, it says that, the person of God is like a tree that's planted by the water, and it produces fruit. But I think, I've ran into so many people, and it seems like their tree, their life, is planted in the desert. And they're not able to find this abundant life, this true life, this new you that God is aiming to transform you into. And look, it doesn't happen overnight. Look, I know when you come to the Lord, you are free from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. And one day when you go to heaven, you will be delivered and set free from the presence of sin. But look, I know we can have all kinds of things kind of pressing in on us. And one of the things that we realized last week was in Psalm 1, is it says, blessed are those who do not seek the counsel of the wicked. And that word blessed, we see throughout the Old and New Testament, and that word means happy. If you look it up, the original word in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it means happy, happy, blessed, joyful. And we find that happiness, it's kind of a universal pursuit. We're always searching, and we're searching sometimes too much in this world to find happiness and peace and fulfillment. And God never created you to find it out there somewhere in the world. He created you to find fulfillment and happiness and joy and peace in Him so that you can live in this world. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heed, I have overcome the world. Why? So we put our attention on Him. And as we do that, we learn how to function and to live in this world. So last week, those were some of the things that we came to understand. And it's kind of neat when we look at the Old Testament, we see that they pointed to the law. And I want you to know that the law in the Old Testament represented the holiness of God. It still does to this day. It represents God's character. It represents Him well. It helps us to understand where our limitations are, where the standards are. It helps us to understand how we can please God and how we offend God. We understand a lot of things when we look at the law, but the law was never intended to clean us up. It was just intended to show us how dirty we were and how much we offend God with our sin. And so, so in the Old Testament, they pointed to the law. In the New Testament, as a New Testament people, as a people of God today, we point to Jesus. And He is the fulfillment of the law. And we fix our eyes on Him, the person and works of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:17, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to abolish them, not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. They are fulfilled in Him. So now we no longer have to strive in the flesh to follow the law and strain and suffer through trying to keep the perfect law. Today we operate, as Paul says, in the new way. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 8 today. You might want to turn with me to there. It's chapter 8. But Paul says we operate in a new way. Back in chapter 7, he says this, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. So we serve and live, we operate, we function in the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. So the Christian has a new way of living. And that new way is by the Spirit of God. In Romans 8, we'll see today, Jesus, he brings a whole new approach to life. He sets us free from the old covenant, the law of sin and death is what it's described as. And he brings the new way. He calls it the way of the Spirit of life. And one of the things that we see here is the old way, the old law, man would just strive and strain to keep it. Man would strive to please God, but continue to fall short, constantly falling short. And they would work really hard in the flesh to follow the written code and to follow the old way. But Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, this new law has set you free from the old law. This new law has set you free from the old law. And I don't know about you, but I want to live the blessed life. I want to live in the joy of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Are you living in freedom today? Would that describe your life, living in freedom, living in the joy of the Lord? And I love Romans chapter 8. I will say it's one of my favorite chapters, and so I probably have gone to this chapter about two or three times, probably every year, two or three times every year. But the first verse in chapter 8, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then if you look at the last verse, it says there is now no separation from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There's no longer condemnation. There is no longer separation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And today we're gonna see that the new you, it doesn't function the old way. The new you doesn't function the old way. It doesn't operate the same way. One thing is certain, you are going to try to function in the old way. And you're going to try really hard to function in the old way as the new you, as a believer. And here's what a new you is. It's a person who has made a personal decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord, their authority, right? And as their Savior. And living in this new way, you're going to be so tempted. You're going to be so tempted to live in the old way, which is the old way is in the flesh. And, you know, if you thumb through the Bible, you'll see this term flesh used in a lot of different, with a lot of different meanings. But today, we're going to talk about the flesh as relating to the sinful nature of man, the sin nature of man. We have a desire. Our flesh has this desire to be pleased and fulfilled by sin. Has anyone here recognized that in your own life? Okay, all right. So we have this desire to please ourselves by indulging in sin, whatever that is. It could be gossip. So tempted to gossip when we get a juicy story. It could be pride. We think we're kind of in control of things. And look, I know I've got all the experience and I know really well how to do this. And I'm going to do it my way because it's my way. And I'm really good at it. And we can get so puffed up on pride. That's called sin. Sin is murder. Sin is lying. It's stealing. Sin has all kinds of different actions. But sin is also an attitude. And it says, I want to be boss. I'm the boss of me. This is my life. I'll do with it whatever I want to do with it. And so we have that sin nature, that attitude and action of sin that's inside of us. It's a selfishness, a self-centeredness, a sin nature, where our motives are not of God. But then when we give our lives to Christ, the Bible says he puts a new spirit in you. We are now the temple, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit, and God dwells within us, 1 Corinthians 3:16. And as believers, the new way is to live by the Spirit. The new way is to live by the Spirit. We read in 1 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we want to live in that freedom. But here's the bad news. And I promise you I'm getting to the passage, but I just want to kind of get us set up for this. Here's the bad news. In Galatians 5:17, it tells us that the flesh and the spirit are opposed to one another. It's like this battle. And if you live primarily in the flesh, you are living primarily in the sin nature as a Christian. Does that even make sense? To be a flesh-living Christian? And so if you live primarily in the flesh, you're going to have a lot of problems walking this walk and living this life, living the new you. And you'll experience in Christ, by his Spirit, you can experience his freedom and the joy and the abundant life here and now and forever. But if we're not careful, we could run into this problem. It's sort of like a teeter-totter, right? And some days we're just really just cruising along. God is at work and we're trusting in him. We're relying on his power and his strength. And then all of a sudden we're back again we're just operating in the flesh, kind of going our own way, doing our own thing, living the way that we see fit. And the threat that we experience in all of this is this is going to boil down to faith. And it's going to boil down to trusting not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of God. And what happens when we live the Christian life too much in the flesh, we live what we call a pseudo-Christian life, a false Christian life. Maybe even a false religion. If we're not careful, we can get so used to this over time. Some people can live in this mode for 30, 40 years, sitting in a pew in a church, nestled in to flesh Christianity and never experiencing the power of God in their lives. And so So you can see how dangerous this can be and how far we can get off. And so the flesh, it struggles and it fights and it pulls. Like with Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says in Romans 7, this is the chapter before, "For I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, and what I hate to do, I do." This is struggle. What I really want to do for the Lord, I don't do. And what I hate to do, I end up doing that. Why? It's because this flesh, spirit pull that's going on in his life. And listen, living by the Spirit is the Christian life on earth. It is the new you. It is the new you. It is the Christian life on earth. The Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-living Christian. So let's go to the scripture, right? That was my setup. Let's jump into the scripture. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 5, and we're going to make our way to verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Whew. Galatians 5:16, it says something very similar. And we're going to be in Galatians 5 next week, but it says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what does it mean to live by the Spirit? Or as Galatians puts it, walk by the Spirit. Well, here's my highly theological answer to that question. I do not know. When I came to Christ, the only thing I knew is how I lived before. And then I was put into these classes at church, and the classes were more about information than they were about transformation. And so I just kind of settled in, and I was just trying to absorb Bible history and who's who, and what did Jesus do with my sin. And so I lived in this sort of academic sort of Bible class, and it took me a while to understand what this means to live by His Spirit. And so what I did is I just tried to live the old way in the new body, or in the new life. We are a new creation, the Bible says. The old is gone. Behold, all things become new. The Bible says in John chapter 3 that we are born again, born of His Spirit, right? And so I lived in this confusion. And so when I tell you, I've got this beautiful theological answer for you of what it means to live by the Spirit, and that is, I don't know, okay? The only reason I say that is because it's a supernatural work of God. And so what we do today, one thing that I do know is I know what it's like to live in the flesh, right? And I know that it sends me down the wrong way road. I know it puts the wrong thoughts in my head. I know that I read here that there is no condemnation in Christ, but I'll tell you what, I'm the number one condemner of self, okay? The way I talk to myself, the way I beat myself up, if I'm not careful, I will run with that. Why? It's because that's where my mind is set, on the things of the flesh and the things of this world. And so I have to be careful. And I've got to trust the Lord that He'll take me to this place where I rely on His power. And by His Spirit, I live out this faith. Not in my own power, but in His power, in God's power, not my own. So he says this, I love what he says here. He says, set your mind. You see, we are so used to setting our mind on things of the flesh. We are creatures of habit, and we bring those habits. This is what we're talking about on Wednesday nights, this freedom seminar. We do this every year. And what we teach there is we teach what it means to live a saved, healed, free life in Christ. To be saved, healed from past sins, and free in the name of Jesus. And so he says, set your mind. And we're so used to the old habits and having our minds set on the flesh, and we set our minds on self, and we set our minds on our own motivations, and we think about the things that are best and beneficial to us, and we leave God out of the equation. We're at work, we're leaving Him out of the equation. We're at home, we're leaving Him out of the equation. We're at church, we're trying to keep Him in the equation, okay? Look, this is a full-time thing. Around the clock, in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the neighborhood, in the home. It's a full-time thing. living by his Spirit. And so Paul tells us more about this transformed life in Romans chapter 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will. When our minds are set, and our mind, it's set on walking and living by the Spirit, we will experience this transformed life. This transforms and it renews our minds. It resets the mind to operate in God's power and not our own. And so look at verse 6. So the first thing that we know is that we are to set our minds. Set our minds. That is the new you. Look at this next saying. It is life and peace. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. See, the old you, the flesh mindset, leads to death. What does that mean? Separation, disconnection from God. Maybe as a believer, we can easily lose fellowship with God, closeness with God. So what do you mean by death? Well, the wages of sin is death, separation. The flesh operates in sin and selfishness. And when we go our own way, we live in lies. We live deceived. And even as Christians, I see so many believers, okay, living in this mode, living in this deception, living in darkness still. He is the light of the world. And listen, we all struggle with this, all right? Every Christian, every pastor, every Bible teacher, scholar, we all struggle with this. This battle, this teetering thing, this is not a new battle, but our aim is to live more in the Spirit than in the flesh, right? That's our aim. And that's why Paul, he makes it clear there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no separation from the love of God in Christ Jesus. All past, present, and future sins have been paid for in full by Jesus Christ. Amen? Aren't you happy about that? So we now live under his grace. There's no condemnation. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, the power of the Holy Spirit, my power is made perfect in weakness. This now that we are covered by his grace, that doesn't mean we have a license to sin, and Paul talks about that. But it's a gracious gift. I like what it says in Titus, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. The grace of God teaches us to say no to these ungodly things and these worldly passions. It teaches us to say no. So he says, flesh living will deaden your Christian walk. He's warning this church. He's writing to these believers in Rome, and he's warning them. But spirit living is life and peace. And this speaks of that happiness, that pursuit that we all have, the life you've always wanted, but you don't know how to get there. And you never will without Christ. You'll never know how to get there. You'll only assume that the things that you grab hold of are working and are going to continue to work, and they won't. It'll just keep falling and falling and messing up. And so we keep our eyes fixed on him, and in him we find real life and real peace. You want real life? You want real peace? Live in the freedom of Christ. Live by his Spirit. And so the new you, number three, is pleasing to God. Look what it says in Romans 8:7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because they're hostile to God. What do you mean? I mean, what's happening there is you're going your own way, you're doing your own thing, you're trying to find life in lifeless stuff, trying to find life in this world, and he never intended it that way. Life can only be found in him and him alone. And a good indicator that you are truly saved is that you have a genuine desire to please God. And so you have this struggle, and the struggle of the flesh. The flesh cannot please God, but inside you as a believer resides the Holy Spirit. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit lives within you, and it prompts you, and it helps you stay connected with him, and helps you to go, okay, this is me living selfishly. This is me living motivated by sin and self. And I can't live this way. I want to live by your Spirit, Lord, and I want to set my mind on the things of the Spirit. And next week, we'll talk about what that is in Galatians chapter 5, setting our mind on the things of the Spirit and what that means. But again, a good indicator that you really, truly have trusted Christ and put your faith in him is inside of you is a desire to please the Lord. If you have no desire, my advice to you is to go back and make sure you don't have a false salvation, is to make sure you have put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. And you'll begin to, through this, you begin to want to and desire to please God, and you'll begin to seek to live out this life by his power. So we read this and we wonder, how do I stop living this flesh Christian life? Okay, look, I'm telling you, this is my battle. This is my battle every day of the week. And don't think I have some kind of priestly position as I stand up here before you. Look, we are all priests. The priesthood of every believer, all of you are ministers of the gospel. Did you know that? But look, we fall short. I fall short. And so let me give you some practical ways that might help. Number one, get familiar with Christ through his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All scripture is God-breathed. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, the person of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. When you turn your eyes to Jesus, you turn your eyes to the living word. Get into his word, get into his truth. And here's one of the things that we find in scripture that what the Holy Spirit will do, it will remind you of the things of Christ as you get his word in your heart. And so get familiar with Christ through his word. Number two, get familiar with repentance. Well, I thought my sins were forgiven. All past, present, and future sins, they are, okay? But this is an exercise for spiritual health. And here's what I've learned is, when I'm going my own way and I'm living in the flesh and I'm living for myself and I feel the distance between me and God, okay? This is important to understand. And you can read John chapter 10. You can read more about this, but if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your salvation is secure. And listen, your relationship with God is secure. You have been adopted into his family. You're a child of God, and your relationship is secure. But your fellowship is not necessarily secure. What do I mean by fellowship? Your communion with God, your closeness to God, your intimacy with God, it's not secure. And when you feel distant from God, it's not him. It's you. Disobedience leads to distance. Distance leads to dryness of faith. Okay? Disobedience leads to distance. Distance leads to dryness of faith. And if you're feeling that distance, here's how you get back. You confess and you repent. Lord, I am distant from you. Lord, I confess that I'm going my own way. I'm burying my life in my video games, okay? I'm burying my life in my device, my iPhone. I'm giving all my attention to all this other stuff. I think the most important things in the world are running my kids everywhere, when I really need to be just sitting at your feet and bathing in your spirit. But instead, I'm doing all this other stuff. I'm confessing this to you, Lord, and I turn away from that, and I turn back to you because you're the most important one in my life, and I regain my fellowship with you, and then we talk, and we converse, and we walk, and I get back into functioning by his spirit. You see how this works? That's how it works. Confession, repentance, and here's what I do. I just go, Lord, I need you to show me how to operate in the Spirit right now, because I'm so caught up in me that I can't even see you. I need the power of your Spirit. So get familiar with his word. Get familiar with repentance. And listen, and I'm just going to wrap this up now, but this issue of operating in God's power, it is your new life. And I can't dissect this and explain how it all works. I can't explain what it means to operate specifically in the power of God. I just know the fruit of it. And I know what the flesh looks like, and selfishness looks like, and self-centeredness, and pouring my life into all the things of the world. And look, you can pour your life so deeply into even your family that you can get away from God. So you have to be careful there too. Okay? You have to be careful there too. But I know what it's like to get distant by paying attention to all the me stuff and my stuff and world stuff and feel so distant from him. That distance from him is a great indicator. I am operating in the flesh. Confess, repent, turn back to him, turn back to his word. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, what a great day this is to receive your truth. May it bury deep into our hearts that we become a people who are never the same, in Jesus' name. Help us to operate in the power of your Spirit. And Lord, I can't help but think, in a room this size, that there is someone here today that has been running from you and running from you and trying to live the life that the world tells them to live. And Lord, there could be someone here who thinks they have it all together, and there could be someone here who has it all falling apart. Lord, I pray that you'll visit them in the deepest places of their heart and draw them to yourself by the power of your Spirit, that they'll know that now there's no that in Christ there is no condemnation. There is no separation. There is relationship. There is fellowship. There is operating in the power of your Spirit. We love you, Lord. Teach us, Lord, your ways. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.